And believers, of course, are the first Christians here after the apostles. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yes, great. Thank you. Wonderful, Alan. Thank you for reading. I'd love you to have that open, Acts chapter 2. I'm going to refer to that in just a moment. But I'm conscious, as it was reflected in Sophie's prayers, that today is an extraordinary day, or an anniversary, when we think back to a day when the world was changed forever, and the way in which we view the world was changed forever. The attack on the Twin Towers, the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, the plane that crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, and it's approximately 3,000 people who lost their lives in one day 10 years ago. And we have felt the impact of that through the news stories and the media. We've come to coin that day as 9/11. When you say those two digits, everyone knows what you mean. And in Ground Zero, where a service of remembrance, as many places across the states and throughout the world, a service of remembrance taking place right now. Ground Zero, already a memorial to the memory of those who lost their lives, is being erected. But actually, what I really want to focus on today, notwithstanding the importance of that, is another event that changed the world forever, and another event that enabled and caused us, inspired us to see the world forever differently, that happened approximately 2,000 years ago. And again, it involved around about 3,000 people, because that was the number that Luke tells us just above the bit that we had read to us. That's the number of people who responded to Peter as he had the courage, prompted by the Spirit, to stand up and give the very first public Christian sermon on the day of Pentecost. And prompted and revealed and released by the Spirit, he saw how all the dots in the Old Testament, all the promises of God, came together in Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit were now poured out, not just on the people who had hitherto been known as God's people, the people of Israel, the Jews, but on all people. And indeed, all the people that were there responded, such that 3,000 gave their lives to God in Christ, became followers of the way, believers. Later we knew them, we know them today as Christians. And the church, if you like, is the, well, it's not a dead monument. It's a sign of that movement, marking not shock and grief and death, but marking love, joy, peace, marking life. And I want to talk, and I'm aided with Will today, just five brief headings, A, B, C, D, E. So hopefully, if you went to primary school or nursery school, you'll be able to remember at least the headings. five headings that are under which, just to lay out, it'll be necessarily brief today, but just to lay out something of the unrolling of the vision that we believe God has given us uniquely here at St. Arnis, to play our part in rolling out the kingdom, to play our part in this great movement of God in this community, in our city, in this nation, in the world. And before I do that, let's pray. Father, we mark that today is a momentous day. We mark that there are times in human history when the course of history changes. And we ask, Lord, that you would be very present to us, attentive to our hearts and minds as we engage this morning, thinking back to that extraordinary event in history, the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the outpouring of your Spirit, and all that that means for us here today. Teach us, inspire us, guide us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. A is for adoration. Adoration is such a significant part of what we do. We adore God the Father through Jesus Christ and by His Spirit. An important part of what we do is to gather together like this to adore Him. It's a little bit more than just singing songs, for example, or listening to scripture or meeting with one another, all of which is important. But it's through those things, and I guess particularly I'd want to say through the sung worship, that we put ourselves in the way of adoring, loving, worshiping God. Worship isn't something that we do or we conjure up. It already happens. Worship takes place in the heavenly realms. It's taking place right now, rather like the radio waves are transmitting now. And if we had a transistor, we'd tune in to what's already going on. And our worship, our adoration, it's not us having a jolly good idea. I know, let's sing about God. No, there are 10,000 upon 10,000 who are already singing about God. All we're doing is joining in. Adoration is a mark of who we are as a Christian people. I was talking to someone who's becoming a member of our church. He has a little child, and I was talking to him about how he found, you know, as Will put it, the eccentricities of our Christian worship, because there are many, I acknowledge. And he said, you know, there's a strange thing. There's a lot I don't really get about what you do, but it's a strange thing that happens when I'm cuddling my little girl, who I don't get to see too often during the week. During the singing, when the singing is going on, I'm often at the back, and I'm cuddling my girl, and there's something, I feel an extraordinary closeness. I mean, that goes beyond anything that I could conjure up or imagine. I feel an extraordinary closeness as being father to that child. I sort of almost feel overwhelmed. He actually said, I have tears in my eyes. But what was interesting was that he noted that it was during the sung worship, corporate sung worship. And I just felt a nudge from the Spirit. It was as if the Lord was whispering to me, tell him that that's how I feel about him. That I'm holding him in my arms. It's like one of those sort of Russian dolls. As he holds his child, I'm holding my child. And I feel brimming with tears. I feel overwhelmed at the love I have just for him. Tell him that. So I'm British, think he's British. don't quite know how to put this. I don't care if I look stupid. If the Lord is telling me to do something, then I'll take a risk. And I shared that with him as best I could in my sort of broken little way of trying to communicate something extraordinary, something wonderful. Adoration. Connecting us with the Father. Connecting us with one another. It's out of a context of worship. We were here on Tuesday night. I'm so sorry for those of you who couldn't get here. I understand the reasons of the start of school. It's busy. There's lots going on. Oh, you missed out. That's all I can say. I'm not going to make you come to St. Arnis Central. It happens the first Tuesday of every month. So you always know when it will be. I can tell you when St. Diana's Centre will be in March of 2016. I don't know the exact date, but the day will be the first Tuesday of March 2016 and 2023. Actually, 2049, November, St. Diana's Centre will be the first Tuesday. That's how you know when it's on. We were here on Tuesday worshipping, and it was that, I've used the analogy of catching the wave. You know, you paddle hard on the surfboard, and there's a sense in which there's a bit of effort on your part. But then this power, the power of the wave, picks you up and takes you and does with you and the board something that you couldn't do yourself. And you ride the wave. And there was a sense of riding the Spirit of God on Tuesday. Everyone who was there, quick hands up, those who were there. Just so, these are my witnesses. Talk to any of these with their hands up. They'll know what you mean. Ask them. Join in. Adoration. Linked with that is prayer. Very briefly, we pray St. Diana's Central, Tuesdays once a month. We pray every Thursday morning, a little bit more of that later on. And on the 5th and 6th of November, it's a weekend in November, Saturday, Sunday, 5th, 6th of November, we're going to have a little sort of workshop on how we, in terms of our intimacy with God and adoring Him, how we hear from Him. Those prompts and nudges from the Spirit that are either for ourselves or for others or for outside these church walls, our places of work, our community. So listening to God. And linked to that, thirdly, we will be kind of just stepping up our intention to offer prayer as a ministry as part of what we do when we gather on a Sunday morning here. So an opportunity for people to hear from God within the context of worship and to be prayed for. Specifically for things going on in their lives or the lives of others. A is for adoration. B is for belonging. B is for belonging. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, Luke writes in Acts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They devoted themselves to fellowship. I'm going to invite Alice Goodwin-Hudson to come. And just really, this point is just a testimony, I guess, to what the Lord has done and is doing in the Goodwin-Hudson household. Alice, just come, yes, find a perch up here. Just tell us a bit about the summer and then how that leads into the autumn.
Hi, everyone. We've had a great summer. Just a little bit of background. We've got two children who are nearly four and nearly two. And basically, since our eldest was born, I've been in a sort of hibernation mode. And I'm sure all the mothers amongst us can understand that. And neither of our children are very good sleepers, so it's been like a kind of season of serious exhaustion. And I've kind of used that as quite a good excuse not to get tucked into church, except for on Sundays. But that, as Lisa and I were talking about the other night, on Sundays you have very snatched conversations and you have toddlers tugging on your jeans, so the conversations are not very kind of exciting. But over the summer, we went to Focus as a family, this wonderful week of caravanning and spiritual refreshment, and I really felt God speak to me about getting stuck in, and it was like a sort of seducing call saying, come this way. And you have me to carry on, okay. And came back this term to find that we're hosting the home group in our house this term, which is brilliant because it means that I have no excuse not to come. Because for 2 years, basically, Chris has been going and I've been saying, no, sorry, babysitting problems, you know, exhausted, blah, blah, which I am. But at the same time, you can kind of make an effort. So I'm really, really pleased that home group's in our house this term so I can be there. And also, I've joined the worship team, which I'm so excited about. Thank you, Jamie, for having me. Got a lot of work to do, but anyway, it's great to start. And I just feel like I'm so excited about being a part of this church and really being part of a family and not missing out. And I don't want to miss out any longer. It feels a bit like that kind of playground mentality of, well, what's that whole gang over there doing so joyfully and so excitedly? I want to be part of that. I don't want to miss out. And so I just feel really led this term just to get stuck in. And that, we don't want to go on about the Tuesday night St. Diana Central, but it is awesome. And I cannot believe that I've been like asleep for the last 3-4 years that I haven't been coming every Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month. It is brilliant. And listening to people's testimonies of answers to prayer, it is such an encouragement. Listening to Lisa standing up and talking about what God's talking to her and Will about and what they're going to start in the church this term, I was just like, yeah, I just want to be a part of this family. So that's where we're at.
Very quickly, thank you. If there's someone here who's not quite yet got involved in a house group, I mean, what are they missing out on? Why go to a house group?
Well, I haven't been for 2 years, so I'm going to have to hazard a guess. No, I get all the feedback from Chris. Okay, what have I missed? Because Chris comes back feeling so pumped, and I'm just like, oh, shucks, I should have gone. We've got a lovely kind of group of about 8 of us, and it is such a close-knit group, and everyone shares where they're at and what's happening in their lives. People they dare to be really honest and really truthful about where they're at, and other people encourage and pray for them, and then we all worship together, eat food together, and read the Bible together, and it's, again, it's like a little kind of nucleus family. If this is the bigger family, that's the kind of nucleus family. And it's just a really, and you just see answers to prayer throughout the term. You just see stuff happening. And actually, Chris kind of kept a log, like a journal of what was going on. And just to look back over it and see, oh my gosh, I can't believe God answered that. That's amazing. And look how that transpired. I wouldn't have seen how that would have happened and all that kind of stuff. It's brilliant.
Alice, thank you so much indeed. Thank you very much. Yeah. Praise God. Belonging to a house group. If you're not yet a member of a house group, in Alice's words, you're missing out. I really believe you are missing out in authentic Christian fellowship that enables and releases growth. So I really encourage you to think about that. There's a couple here who, what they did, they've joined the church and they went to visit every single house group just to see what everyone was like before they could prayerfully make a decision. Well, actually, we'd like to plug him in this one. And we're not the least bit offended. If you come to a house group and then go to another one to check out, that's absolutely fine. But if you're not part of one, I venture to suggest you're missing out on what God has got for you. So B is for belonging, and C is for compassion. And I'm going to hand over to Will.
Great. Wow. How exciting. I get the sense today that there's something, you know, there's a lot going on, and the mood seems to be of God being up to something around us, and we're just joining in. And when I joined the church, this was this time last year, one of the things that had been going on was something called RAGS. I don't know if RAGS is going to come up there. There we go. RAGS, which stood for, it originally stood for Random Acts of Grace. And individuals within the congregation bubbled up just wanting to bless the community in some way. And so a group of them would get together maybe once a month and go and paint someone's flat or go and clear out someone's house that had been filled up with junk. And they found ways sporadically to go out and bless people in the community. And so this time last year, building on that, we felt, how do we take that heart to bless the community and weave it into the fabric of our shared lives together as a community? How do we make the random act of grace a bit more regular, a bit more intentional? Taking that R and changing it from random to regular or routine, or radical or revolutionary acts of grace. And we looked at the mission of God in Jesus. Jesus coming to say, I've come to break the chains of injustice, to feed the hungry, to heal the sick. And seeing our mission together as an extension of what Jesus has already started. And so for us, our compassion is inheriting the compassion of God and showing that compassion to those in need around us. And it's been really encouraging to see the way that that has developed over the last year and is continuing to develop this year. One of the organizations that we sought to partner with was the Hammersmith and Fulham Food Bank, which is based out of Christchurch, Fulham, a neighboring parish just next to us. And over the course of the year, we've had events where we've collected food for them. a few individuals from the church have volunteered for them. In fact, yesterday, if you went shopping yesterday in Sainsbury's, I saw one or two of you there, you would have been given a food bank shopping list, being invited to put some of you, get some extra groceries, put them in your basket, and they were collected from you at the tills, and that is used to feed people in crisis in our community. What an amazing thing. And Sainsbury's are so keen on this that they're allowing volunteers from the food bank to go and relabel their shelves with little food bank logos to say, buy this and give it to us. Isn't that amazing? I think the manager of Sainsbury's has caught the vision, albeit that we still have to buy the food and it must be helping their profits. But we are partnering with people in the community looking to serve and bless our community. We've been talking about house groups just now. It's been really encouraging to me how the house groups are now capturing that vision of regular acts of grace and saying, as a house group, we don't want to just gather as a little holy huddle and stroke one another and make sure we're okay. But actually, they're starting to look outward, saying, how can we, as a group of Christians, bless the community in which we live? One of the house groups has recently redecorated someone's flat in our community. Another house group is now prayerfully considering, how can we serve the elderly and the isolated in our community? When I first came here, Tim told me a story of going to a funeral down at the crematorium. He got talking to the crematorium staff, and he said, how has your day been? And they said, it's been really busy today. This is the fourth funeral of the day, but you're the first person to turn up to any of them. Those other people who had been buried that day, there was no one that they knew in this huge city that we live in. London, as we know, can be the most vibrant, but also the loneliest place in our country. And so what an amazing thing for a group of Christians to get together and say, we're going to go and find those people, and we're going to provide them with friendship, someone to talk to, maybe look after some of their needs. What an amazing thing. I already mentioned that on the first Sunday in October, I think it's October the 5th, we will be gathering food together for the West London Homeless Concern. And we're prayerfully considering hosting the homeless shelter in the Mission Hall over the road here in January for a number of weeks. Through the coldest months of the year, we will provide food and shelter for some of the most vulnerable people in our community. If you'd like to get involved in that, please do see me at the end of the service. There are plenty of opportunities for us to get involved in this mission of showing God's compassion. We read here that in verse 45 of our passage, that these believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. And the spirit of these early believers, who with a vision of Jesus, who had died and was now resurrected, ascended to the side of the Father, it was a sheer joy to give up their possessions, to get involved in the mission of God to a needy world. So C is for compassion, and now Tim's going to talk about D, for discipleship.
Luke tells us in Acts that they, these early Christian believers, this early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Discipleship is learning to live as Jesus lived, learning to love as Jesus loved. Forging patterns deep within our inner being, out of which we live like that. We think and act and react as Jesus thinks, acts, reacts. That's discipleship, to follow him, to become more and more like him. To mark that journey, the first one, baptism, we often, in this church, I can understand how baptism is associated with the christening, which is associated with little babies and infants, but increasingly as Alpha, people do Alpha and reconnect with faith as adults, we're discovering there are people who maybe weren't christened or baptized as an infant and yet are wanting to mark the start of the Christian journey. And Will is going to do a few sort of exploratory sessions for anyone who's interested. That might be an adult thinking of getting baptized themselves, or it could be an adult who's thinking of bringing a child, a parent bringing a child to baptism. And you want to just explore a little bit. Well, what is it they say there? And why does a strange guy pour water all over a baby's head and put a mark of a cross on the forehead and invite them to say the things they do? And it's, again, a whole load of eccentricities packed into 15 minutes there. What's going on? And so this term, Will is going to do that, to unpack what's going on as we look to mark the start of the Christian journey. And if you're interested, come and see Will at the end. Very briefly, Sundays, to help with our living more like Jesus, we're going to look at intentional Christian living through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, specifically those chapters 4 through 6, packed with detail for Christian living in terms of personal holiness, in terms of one's place within the wider context of believers, the church, in terms of household relationships. What is the Christian teaching on marriage? What's the Christian teaching on and advice and help on parents with children and bringing up little ones? What is the Christian teaching on the work and role of the Christians in the workplace, slaves and masters, and all of that within the context of believing and sort of warrior protective prayer, spiritual warfare, and so on, understanding the context in which Christians live. So intentional Christian living on Sundays. That's augmented by Alan's fantastic initiative. I think there's 35, 36 guys who work in the city in various callings and vocations, and they get together every 4-6 weeks for a lunch, and where Alan feels just called to lead us through Paul's letter to the Philippians, so that we can just chew on that as we're eating lunch, for men who work in business, commerce, finance in the city. And again, Alan's at the back. He'll have welcomed you on the way in. If you'd like to find out more about that for yourself, if you're a businessman, or for someone else, talk to him. Just to pick up again, finally, on Thursday morning, 7 o'clock, across in the Sullivan Hall, which is, you'll associate with Zebedee. We meet in there for an hour. What we're looking to do this term is devote every other week to praying specifically for a vocation or trade, a calling, some work. We want to, as a sort of heart of the church, to pray for, equip and anoint those of you who are called to, in one sense, real Christian life and living out there, where it's hard and where it's tough and where the real issues sort of grind together. We need Spirit-filled Christians right in the center, shedding light and truth, being salt and grace. And that, my goodness, that is a battle and that is a struggle. And therefore, to undergird it and to equip that call and ministry with prayer. So, you know, I imagine we'll be praying for those perhaps involved with in health, doctors, nurses, physios, whoever, those involved in education, those involved in politics, maybe at national or local level, those involved in finance, those involved in the arts and the media. And if that's you, we want to make that clear. We'll put it on the notice sheet and the notices here. We'll have it on the website so you can see. And if you've got a heart for people there, or if you are involved yourself, then come along. So we'd love to pray with you and for you. And you can inform us as well. I don't know what is currently, you know, what are the issues in the media at the moment? I can guess, but I don't really know. But if you're involved, come and tell us so we can pray in an informed manner. Sharpen our discipleship as a church. Finally, E is for evangelism. Back to Will.
Well, Tim has already drawn reference to the events surrounding 9/11 and the Twin Towers, how the world was changed that day. And I don't know if you remember the feelings of confusion that surrounded that day. How could this happen? And on a slightly, but not too significantly smaller scale, I wonder if you, like me, felt that similar sense of confusion when London and the country erupted in riots this summer. A sense that all actually is not well in our society, albeit that those individuals involved maybe need to take personal responsibility. But it does point to issues in our society. And there's been much talk, hasn't there, of a moral compass and the need for a moral compass. But I think the Christian response is that there's no point in having a compass if you don't know where you're aiming for. And we believe that we've been entrusted with good news in this situation, that Jesus is our vision, that Jesus invites us to the embrace of our Father in heaven. We know our destination, and it's our conviction that that we are transformed on that journey. Our morality is transformed as we head to Jesus and into the Father's arms. This is a fruit, if you like, of the Spirit. It's a product, not an end in itself, our morality. So I believe these riots give us an impetus to act in our community. How can it be that people can share the same postcode as us, but we never see them, we never meet them, we never share their lives? And so in response to that, we've prayerfully considered what we might do as a church community. And I'd like to invite you to prayerfully consider getting involved with this, our latest ministry effort. It's called Kick, Eat, Pray. Kick, Eat, Pray. It's aimed at preteen children initially. It will start off on Sunday afternoons at 3:30 with a game of football, hopefully coached to a professional standard. I'm looking at Alex at this moment. Be followed by tea here in the church, and then a service owned and run by the young people where they can express their faith to one another. The values of Kick, Eat, Pray are community, exercising faith, building community with those that maybe don't share the same kind of living arrangements that we do, seeing the people who share a postcode with us, but that we cross the road to avoid maybe day by day. Exercising. It's been said that the projected levels of obesity in our country are set to hit 40 to 50% for adult males in our country. So the need for exercise is a very practical and real one. Community exercising faith. We believe that ultimately what will change us, what will bring about morality and good values in our community, is where we head in the right direction. Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, is attributed as saying, if you're on a train heading in the wrong direction, there's no use running down the carriage in the other direction. You need to get off the train and get on the right train. And so it's our conviction that we invite people to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Kick, Eat, Pray. If you'd like to get involved in helping with the football, in providing food, and helping the young people to organize their services, then please do come and speak to me or Lisa at the end of the service. With this calling to share this good news, we are running our next Alpha course on the 28th of September. And before that, we'll have a guest service on the 25th of September, which is Back to Church Sunday. Do think about those you might invite. Do sign up for our Alpha course yourself. There's information at the back. There'll be some leaflets back there with the dates of the courses. And please do get in touch with the church office if you'd like to come along or invite somebody. Our Mumbies group meets on a Tuesday morning in term times here at 10 o'clock. A I'm looking at Lisa, turn until 11:30. For if you'd like to come along with an infant up to nursery age, you'd be very welcome. There's coffee, a friendly welcome. It's a Christian group, but open to people of all or no faith. We sing Christian songs, but we also sing Wheels on the Bus, which is a great song. It's been amazing to me to see how Mumbies has grown in our community. There's obviously such a need for just companionship help at these times that are so demanding for young mums. We've been hearing about the demands from Alice. But it's so amazing also to see that once this has grown to this size that Mumbies is now, that the Cassidy Road GP surgery down the road has approached us to see whether we might be able to host a mentoring program for single mothers in our community. And we are hoping to kick that off in the new year. We're hoping to organize some training with the mothers involved at Mumbies to come alongside those who are very vulnerable, single mothers, to help them through their pregnancy and the first months of the new baby's life. What an amazing opportunity that is. Finally, when we think of mission, we think of missionaries. Often we think about going off to Africa or China, going to some distant land to bring the good news of Jesus to other people. Next year, the whole world is going to be coming here. What an amazing opportunity. We'll be looking at ways that we as a church can show people the good news that we have experienced for ourselves during this Olympic event. But just to lay out my stall, it's going to be a big disruption, the Olympics, isn't it? We've already had a bike ride through down Fulham Road. They shut off the whole of Fulham. It was a nightmare. But what's our attitude to it? Are we going to complain about the Olympics? No! Why don't we get on board, get involved, see the opportunity? Focus on what do the Olympics say to us about the values that we hold dear. So we'll be looking for ways over the coming year to get involved in the Olympics and to show people life, the kind of life that we've been talking about today, that's on offer through Jesus Christ, to come to the love of the Father and to be transformed in our own lives into his likeness by the work of the Holy Spirit. The last verse that we just read said, "The Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." And our prayer for our community, more than anything else, is that they might be saved. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing our final song. Should we just stand together? There's been a lot to listen to.